is Jan Desperate Peters, and I am the host of BTST Services Podcast, Meeting You Where You Are. And this is our second edition going live. And at first I was a little apprehensive, but then I warmed up to it because the people that I'm asking to be in this space with me are primarily my friends. And so I just thought about it as if I'm just having a good old conversation with one of my friends who is willing to drop some knowledge about their particular area of expertise. And so today we have with us Miss Annette March Greer. And I've known Annette for a long time. And she has always been in a space and a place where she has a heart for people. And she especially has a heart for people who are experiencing grief and loss. Annette is the co-founder of Roberta's House, and it's located in Baltimore, but it's really a global organization. It's a nonprofit grief support center, and Annette provides at the Roberta's House with her team grief education, peer support groups, and grief camps to children, adults, and families in underserved communities in Maryland. And she's been doing this since 2008. And one interesting fact, if I had to say, like, what's an interesting fact about Annette? Annette, a few years ago, was actually on the prestigious list of the top 10 CNN heroes. And so we have a national figure in the house, y'all.
And
your hometown doesn't appreciate you as much as the nation, but we want you to know, Annette, with all the wonderful work that you do at Roberta's House, we appreciate you. And so I just like to just take a few minutes to have people know more from your perspective as the founder. And Annette, sir, also served as the executive director for a long time, and then she stepped back. And I should say, stepped into another position, hired an executive director. And then she has this wonderful construction project going on. So Annette, can you share with us a little bit about that?
Okay. The construction project or just?
Just tell us first about some of the programs at Roberta's House.
So we've been, Roberta's House has been in existence since 2007. And it evolved out of a community service that March Funeral Home started to provide bereavement support to individuals in Baltimore. One is because there was no resource or any type of bereavement education or support to those living in Baltimore City. And March Funeral Homes happened to have been one of the largest funeral service providers. And if any grief, unresolved grief and complicated grief, we did. And I'm also a registered nurse. And the impact of how grief was changing people's lives from, you know, with depression, alcoholism, mental health, mental illnesses, you know, just physical, poor physical health, substance abuse. I could go down a long list. There was nothing to help people understand what it took in order to heal after the loss of someone that they were very much attached to. And so we began this educational community outreach, and it just grew. The demand, I had no idea, was so great. And there was also a great need for children. There was no support there for children. And people, you know, parents would call me, grandparents, where can I take my child? Where can I get support for them? And there did not exist anything. So it became a vision of mine to one day be able to provide grief support to all ages, especially children. Because, you know, we see so many children failing in school, children acting out, and really no one was talking to them about the losses that they were experiencing. So this became a vision. And upon my mother's death, I say this is when my grief became my growth. I decided that there was time for me to take this gift that God had given me and create a nonprofit and begin training and recruiting volunteers to facilitate groups, and I can say this was the beginning of something that I never imagined. Roberta's House was established.
So, Annette, I think people don't really understand that it's not just a space where people can come and receive counseling, but you mentioned also that you provide training. So anyone who has a heart for this work can receive training through Roberta's House to provide a similar service in the community. And so I'd like you to just give us a little more information on that.
Absolutely. So we have about three to four volunteer trainings each year. And these volunteer trainings are 24 hours. So you have to be committed to this. But it is a very, very in-depth educational curriculum that we take each volunteer through. Understanding all the different theories around grief and loss, understanding, learning the communication techniques, listening skills, understanding how children grieve differently in the developmental stages. We also talk about different types of losses, from homicidal deaths to the loss of an infant, SIDS and other types of sudden death, suicide, and we even get into spirituality of grief and loss and how to coach and help someone who is struggling spiritually with their grief. So it is a very in-depth curriculum. And you get a certificate at the end. And we usually graduate probably about, I would say, close to 100 volunteers each year out of Roberta's House. And many of these individuals, we ask, once you go through this training, that you commit at least 40 hours of volunteer service to Roberta's House. And that's our way of getting the support that we need in order to run our programs.
Right.
We also
don't charge for the training.
No charge for the training, as long as you volunteer those service hours. Absolutely right. And something else that we do charge, we have a bereavement ministry training. And these are for laypersons and clergy, assistant pastors. This is a two-day training, 16 hours, where we help churches to develop their bereavement ministry teams. Oftentimes, these churches they may have individuals who help with the repast and the cooking and maybe planning the funeral arrangements.
Right.
But we find that many of the churches don't have people trained in how to be supportive to the bereaved families, what to say, what not to say. You know, believe it or not, we as Christians can cause more trauma than the grief itself by the things that we say. And not intentionally, but, you know, some of the things that we say can be very, very harmful and condoning. Right. If you know, to individuals who are experiencing grief. So those are our two largest educational programs that we provide through Roberta's House.
So I think that that's important to know in relationship to this opportunity to be trained, whether you're a layperson or, you know, you're in ministry, that Roberta's House has this opportunity for you to just become educated. I know that I've experienced one of the most traumatic losses for me was the loss of my mother. And I just believe that if you never lost a parent, then it's kind of challenging to console someone who has. And it's probably, you know, I'm sure it's the same way with a child or spouse, you know, those kinds of things. And so to move beyond just "you are in my thoughts and prayers" is important, because people hear that, and I'm not saying that it's not consoling, but to be in a space where you can offer more because you've been trained to understand the grief process, I think is very important.
I definitely agree. And so those are some educational opportunities. And then we have over 13 different types of programs at Roberta's House for all ages. We have a program for moms who've had lost an infant up to age one. That's called SAM, Still a Mom, a support group. We also have program, a home visiting program for the moms, Project Hope, where we have advocates that visit the moms after they've experienced this loss, and we follow them for one full year. Our homicide survivors program also is, of course, unfortunately, one of our largest programs, where we get referrals from the Baltimore City Police Department, and we reach out to these families who've experienced a death of a loved one by homicide, and we follow the families for a year. We do home visits. Of course, none of these things are taking place now. We are contacting our families via telephone and doing Zoom conferences and making sure that we stay in touch with each of our families. But we have a home visiting program. We have two support groups under homicide survivors, one for adults and one for children. We have a teen program for adolescents. We also have an adult support group for adults who've lost a widow, lost a spouse or an adult child. We have a camp where, and in fact, we are accepting applications for Camp Erin now.
Prayerfully. Yeah, we don't want to actually leave a comment saying that they took the training for your summer camp.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So the camp is amazing. Our goal is to take 100 kids away for a weekend adventure camp. We go to North Bay up in Northeast Maryland, and it's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The camp is free, and we just ask that you get your application in as soon as possible. Hopefully by August, all of this will be over with the COVID-19, and hopefully we'll be back to connecting with one another. But this is a great opportunity, especially for young people who've experienced the death of someone close, to meet other kids who have experienced the loss. And we help them learn new coping skills or healthy coping skills. And they have a lot of fun and adventure, from zip lines to canoeing, rope climbing, obstacle courses, swimming. We are exhausted when we return on Sunday. So right. We are accepting applications for that now.
And people can go to your website.
Yes, robertashouse.org. And go to Camp Erin. And there is a application preliminary. We'll send you a full application. Or you can call to Roberta's House. Our number, we still have our lines open. And you can call 410-235-6633. And we'll make sure we get an application to you in the mail.
So, and now you have a unique position. You started out by talking about Roberta's House in relationship to even the fact that it's named after your mother, mm-hmm. and that through your professional experience as a registered nurse and being a member of the March family, for those of you who don't know, March is a funeral home conglomerate that has been around for how long, Annette?
Since 1957.
It's 1957.
Yeah, so that's about, 67 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to do the math before we get off this.
Okay, me too. I should have counted that up too.
Yes. So the one thing that I really want to talk about is that I'm sure that through the training that you provide, you talk about the stages of grief. And when you think about grief and loss and the saying goodbye, it's conceivably different based on what culture you're in, but there are traditions and customs that go along with saying goodbye when someone dies. And so those things have become challenging in this space of us being physically distant from one another, governor's executive orders, right. and the pandemic. And yeah. so as a member of a family that owns a funeral service, I also wanted you to kind of speak about some of the things that your family's seeing in that space, and then some of the suggestions we might give people who are going to experience a loss during this pandemic.
Right. So COVID-19 has definitely changed our our rituals, our routines, and the way we grieve, unfortunately. You know, customarily, funerals was our ceremony or our way of showing love and comforting.
Did I lose Annette? I hope not.
My battery is weakening, and I should have charged my phone up, but I'm going to finish here. So things that have changed recently, one is unfortunately this code of only having 10 people to attend a funeral service really places a hardship and stress not only on the families to make a decision as to who comes to the funeral, but even on the directors and the staff of the funeral home to say, you know, who can come into the building and who can't. This is making the grieving and the emotional stress of services and families mourning just tremendous. I had a young lady to say, you know, I'm sitting, we're all in this chapel and we're sitting 6 feet apart.
Right.
And my aunt is crying in the front, you know, pew, and nobody can go and hug her and console her. And I have to just watch her sit there and cry alone. So thank you. My husband is bringing me my charger.
Thank you, Mr. Greer.
That just places another level of hurt, of stress, of just emotional loss. That we can't support each other like we used to. Excuse me one second, I'm going to plug in.
Okay, no problem. And, you know, we did some research prior to this interview, and we called around to a few churches and a few other funeral homes, and they basically gave us the same information that, you know, churches really aren't having funeral services or any services in their buildings. Right. And that most funerals now are taking place either at funeral homes or at the gravesite.
Right.
And even at the gravesite, they're being, you know, very cautious about how close people are standing next to each other. And so it is Jade McCray wrote, it's heartbreaking mm-hmm. to think that when you're going through that, that you can't even be in a space where you can get a hug.
Get a hug, absolutely. And, you know, we don't realize the meaning behind our ceremonies and rituals that helps us in the acknowledgement of the loss. I mean, the funeral, the repast, where people, families come together and eat and share stories and hug one another, cry together. All of that really helps the families heal. You know, mm-hmm. telling the stories and sharing the stories are part of that healing process that's not able to take place. I mean, yeah, we could call each other on the phone now and talk about it, but it's still not the same. So one thing that we recognize at Roberta's House and just in this whole bereavement industry is that we're going to have a lot of mourners after all of this that are really going to have some complicated grief and grief that's going to be long lasting. Because they weren't able to memorialize or give honor to the loved ones the way they had wanted to or desired to. And that's part of the healing, too, that takes place. You know, that satisfaction of knowing I gave mom a good homegoing service.
Right. Exactly. You know, I've done all that I could do. Look at, I mean, and we even are people that want to see, like we have viewings. And people will ask, like, well, how did they look? You know, mm-hmm. because that's part of our tradition as it relates to the process of saying goodbye is to have that service, to have that homegoing service.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this, you know, it's going to look quite different when we come back together and, you know, people are able to come back to Roberta's House and our support groups, because the experiences that they're going to have now. You know, we can't go back and undo them or redo them.
Right.
And unfortunately, and now this is hitting our communities even harder, in the African American community. And so, believe it or not, most of us know that African Americans probably have a higher mortality rate in most of the most more than other cultures anyway. When families come to Roberta's house, they just haven't experienced one death. They share about multiple deaths within a short time frame. And that's hard already. And now we're facing the risk of losing more family members because of this pandemic. This is really changing how we mourn, how we grieve, and how we heal.
How we heal.
This is really just changing the world. And we have to somehow make our, you know, work our way through this and reaching out in the way that you're doing, Jan, and Roberta's House wants to do too. We're going to create some of these live streaming chats too, to help people work through. But things that we can do, let me just give some pointers as to what people can do.
Okay.
In order to support someone that you might know is going through or having a loss of a loved one. One is reach out, even if it's by telephone or some way, and make sure you have the time to listen and to have a conversation, to hear them share their stories, to share their memories. Oftentimes, supporters or people who are our friends and extended family members don't know what to say, so they avoid their love, you know, the mourners or the bereaved people, because the person may be crying on the phone, or they may be, you know, getting upset. Don't think that you are adding to that. Please know that you are giving them the permission and the freedom to feel, to express, and to acknowledge their loss. They want someone to acknowledging the loss is part of the healing process. And yes, that means talking through it. That means, you know, telling the story over and over and over sometimes,
right,
to get it to be real. Please don't lose patience with the bereaved persons, the bereaved family members out there. This is the best gift that you can give them is your time and your listening ear. So that's first and foremost, you know, sending cards, the mail is still going, thank goodness.
Right.
So emailing, doing, you know, FaceTiming. If you have a phone that you can FaceTime, it's great to see the other face.
It is.
And let the tears flow. Tears are healing.
Yeah, they are most certainly healing. And people sometimes don't allow that to happen because they may sense it as a sign of weakness. But, you know, and you never know what triggers the tears. I mean, you know, it's been, I guess, 8 years since my mom passed. And, you know, it could be a movie. It could be a song. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the tears mean that I'm sad.
Right.
I just have a memory and I miss my mom. And I think that that's part of the grief process too, is that you acknowledge that it's okay that you miss someone, no matter how long it's been. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. And so we weep, we dry our tears, and then we just, you know, take it one day at a time.
That's right. That's right. So those are, you know, just allow the person to be themselves, accept them where they are. You know, if they are angry with God, allow them to express that. Don't inhibit that in any way. You know, God can work with them. You know, just allow them to say and feel, and don't be judgmental.
Right.
Please don't be judgmental, or you will end that conversation really quickly. They will not call you back. to have that conversation with you. Exactly. Keep your judgments and your opinions to yourself, you know, but just allow them to feel, allow them to express, and just encourage them that you'll be there for them, and they have to work through this grief.
So, Annette, I really love, you know, the tips that you've given us with regard to doing some, what it is that we can do during this time, opposed to thinking about what we can't do. And some of the churches also said that there are people who were going to have memorial services later when we were able to come out of this. And so that's also an alternative as well for people to reprocess. Right. I just wanted to add a couple things. One, because I'm representing BTST services, that people should also definitely think about therapy and reaching out, because we can talk to our friends and our relatives. And if we are in a prolonged state of grief, then it is absolutely the next step in that grief process to identify someone who is trained to provide services to you.
And that's so, right.
If you don't know where to go, then you should definitely reach out to BTST services. And if our organization is not the right fit for you, regardless of what the reason is, then maybe we can help you identify the right fit for your particular situation. I wanted to step back also to something you said earlier with regard to African Americans suffering disproportionately. And it is my hope, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, Annette. It is my hope that after the COVID pandemic stay-at-home order is released, that we as a society, as a nation, seriously look at what it means to have this level of health disparities in communities of color. That it's not just that more African Americans are testing positive, but it's also that the conditions, the underlying medical conditions in our communities, diabetes, hypertension, asthma, those things are ultimately resulting in African Americans going to the ICU and then having higher death rates, because we have these underlying health conditions. Mm-hmm. And those things with regard to health disparities and inequities have really not been addressed by our society. So, you know, people talk about so many issues as it relates to what, you know, the government should be doing, what the next president should have as their platform. But I'm hoping that in addition to looking at things like, you know, health insurance for everyone and a livable wage, that we also look at this issue around health disparities.
It's a must. I agree with you 100%. It's a must. Stress is the number one killer. And it is what destroys our immune system. And the amount of stress that African Americans endure because of poor housing, because of unemployment and poverty and all the other, and you know, it's natural for it to attack our health.
Yes.
And then for us to have not have health insurance and you know, also to experience inequalities in the emergency rooms, in the hospitals, and who gets a ventilator and who doesn't. We this is definitely, hopefully this pandemic is going to bring the awareness of these disparities to everyone's forefront, and hopefully it'll be something good that comes as an outcome, hopefully, out of this. I know definitely this pandemic is going to change the world and how we do things, and hopefully even our educational system. Yeah. Our Baltimore City schools, you know, many of these parents don't have computers at home. Mm-hmm. And some of the schools don't have enough
internet. Yes.
And internet and Wi-Fi access and all of this. Right. Absolutely. And so this is definitely hopefully going to change how we do things and how, what type of support that our schools are going to have in place now. Because I think now that this has happened for the first time, but hopefully we'll be prepared that if it ever happens again, that we'll be in a better place than where we are today.
I hope so. So, Annette, I just want to just reiterate some of the things that you said with regard to checking in on each other, especially mm-hmm. during this time where we can't be physically close to people that we love and that we're concerned about as it relates to saying our final goodbyes, and that we do check in on people, that we are non-judgmental, and that we listen to the stories over and over again so mm-hmm. that people can go through a portion of what it takes to get through the grief process during mm-hmm. this very traumatic time in all mm-hmm. of our lives. Mm-hmm. I also want to encourage everyone to continue to do what the CDC and the World Health Organization yes. is encouraging us to do. Wash your hands. You know, it's amazing to me that these things, they sound so simple, like we weren't washing our hands before, but just the a reminder of that. And I also would encourage you to look at, you know, some educational videos on YouTube as it relates to cross-contamination, because you wash your hands and then you touch the remote that hasn't been wiped off, then your hands are contaminated again. So
I've done that.
yeah, I've done that too. And especially the nasty, nasty cell phone that that we have to continue to keep wiping off.
Or your money.
Yeah, or your money, which is very, you know, I've always felt like that was the dirtiest thing that you could ever touch is money, because so many other people are touching it. And just, you know, remember your social distancing. And I just want to just say to Annette, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your heart for people. And thank you so much for sharing with us all that Roberta's House has to offer. And before we leave, Annette, I just want you to say like 2 minutes about the Roberta's House construction project.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
That's okay.
First, though, before I say do anything, I want to really thank BTST for their services, for the work that they are doing in this community as well. We make referrals to you all the time. And it's good to know that there is a mental health service provider out there that understands our people. Thank you.
Well, that's cool. And keep making the referrals, because we can still do telehealth.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. So the construction of the new Roberta's House is located in 900 block of East North Avenue. It is the new Roberta House that will be opening in November of 2020. It will be the first bereavement center ever established by an African-American nonprofit organization in the country. I'm proud to say that. And this is just going to be a wonderful place where we can have multiple programs going on now at one time with for individuals who've experienced all kinds of losses. Right now, where we are is very limited with the space, so we can only hold one group a night. And there's an opportunity for you as the community to also be a part of this healing center. We are selling bricks that you can put a family member's name in honor of in the new center, or a leaf or a butterfly on the wall inside the facility. And you can visit our website to get more information about that, robertashouse.org.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, thank you for sharing that. I think that's important. The first nonprofit grief support center in the nation that was
established.
Go ahead.
African American nonprofit organization. So we are so proud, and God knows Baltimore needs it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So before we leave, I just wanted to just shout out the fact that BTST is alive and well, and that we are still in business. Our doors are open. And what you see on social media is just a small part of what we do. Because as Jada McCray would say, the main thing is the main thing. And the main thing is that we provide clinical and PRP services to our community. And we do it with pride and dignity and integrity. And so if you need services yourself or you need to make a referral, please contact BTST Services. I also wanted to say that Chris Simon, who's our CEO, is live with Mikhail on Mondays on WEAA 88.9 FM. Jada McCray does the Mental Health Moment on both Instagram and Facebook on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. You don't want to miss that. And you can subscribe to the Meeting You Where You Are podcast on Podomatic, SoundCloud, and the Apple Podcast app.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And if you don't socially distance for yourself, then do it for somebody else so that we can get out into this space and hug each other again. It's amazing that the desires of our hearts have become very simple. The desire in my heart is that I can go out into this world and I can hug the people that I love and care about. And so please do that. Please stay home. Please be safe. And you pray for me and I'm going to pray for you. Until we meet again, God bless you.
God bless you. Love you. Thank you.
Love you, Annette. Thank you.